audiotips.com is one of the most popular websites in the blind community. Its founder is George Byes, and he joins me on the program now. It's a pleasure to have you along, George. Firstly, before we talk about your initiative with the Olympics, which has been talked about a lot in the last week or so, let's talk a little bit about the history of Audiotips and how it began.
Okay, well, basically, I have retinitis pigmentosa, and I've been totally blind for about 14 years. And I have four nephews that have RP, and so I was trying to teach my nephew how to use the computer over the telephone. And he kept asking the same questions over and over again. It was getting quite expensive, so I started doing some searches for audio recording type programs, and I ran across a program called Internet Audio Publisher and tracked down the developer of that, which was Noel Bouchard up in Montreal, and we worked together to make it real speech friendly, and I started doing sound files and sending them to him and putting them in a sound folder. And at that time you could also stream with this particular program, like with Real Audio, and so I thought maybe I'd put some stuff up on a website, and so I bought Kathy Ann's tutorial on how to make web pages, and bought a domain, and started working with Kathy Ann a little bit, and she started putting up some sound files. And it went real well for a while, but the developer, didn't continue. He had another job and he was just doing this part time, and the real producer came out, and we were working with quite a few volunteers to do some reading for content up on the site, and it just got overwhelming. I'm not a great typer. And so I just couldn't keep up with everything, so I kind of put it aside for a few months and took a break from it. When I came back, I ran across the Libstream client on eGroups and started to develop a community around what the purpose of Audiotips was. Because I have a kid that has macular degeneration, and my nephews and myself, and realizing that my biggest problem is in the whole world is how the rest of the world views blindness. And that's, no matter where I go, I've got a preconception of what blindness is. And I, you know, even with myself, I thought that it would be awful to go blind. And so for a lot of years, I had a hard time dealing with that. Once I went blind, it was kind of a relief, and I realized that it's really not the awful thing that I thought it was all that time. And so one of the things that I wanted to do is, and I'm in the process of doing, is having a place where blind people can get together and work on projects and do things, and the rest of the world can come in and participate in a volunteer community and get rid of the preconceptions. They can see us working on our machines. They can find out about our, you know, just our lives and that we're just people. And so far, the sighted people that have came in that I've talked to are, have actually changed their ideas of blindness. Recently, we've got some real great things that are happening in the area of distance learning and employment, and we've had some pretty good-sized employers come in and actually talk to members of the Audiotips community and are extremely impressed and are getting involved in an employment project that's kind of interesting too, and that's where we're at.
How many people do you estimate are visiting Audiotips on a weekly basis now?
Oh, it varies. We people come in and out. We have about 400 people, a little under 400 people on the email list. Last month we logged about 400,000 minutes through the Lipstream statistics, and I don't know how to read my stats pages really good, but it looks like hits that we have on the pages are up to 100,000 hits a month or something like that. But it's hard to tell I would say there's probably 200 to 300 different people per week right now.
And I noticed that recently you've divided audio tips so that you have what they call the original audio tips community, and then there's the new Christian community. Is this community concept something that you'll be developing in the near future?
Absolutely. Actually, we've got another domain, and I recently changed my status with Lipstream from a partner to a customer. So I'm purchasing basically the server or the bandwidth, and so we're developing basic communities. I'm working right now with Sequoia Charter Schools is one of the customers that I'm working with, and they're developing a homeschool distance learning type of thing using a community like Audio Tips.
Are you looking at some point at generating any sort of revenue from Audio Tips to make it at least pay its way?
I was going to at one time, but actually I think that it is going to pay its way in a different way. It's a model community, and one of the things that we're doing is we want to build sound ethical communities. There's a lot of places out there that people can go all over the place, like Sight and just all over the place as far as talking on. But they are, you never know what's gonna, who you're gonna end up talking to. And, what I find in these communities a lot of times, cause I've been in various communities, that a lot of times, if they're not really structured, that some of the people that, just wanna come on and not do anything serious or even create problems tend to run the good people off. And so we're developing ways of making communities that can be somewhat protected to be able to function as a productive type of community for whatever agenda that a person wants.
You mentioned that there are other places for people to go. There's been a website recently set up that's doing voice chat, targeting the blind community by and large, and it's been said that this was set up really in response to what's perceived to be the strict policies that Audio Tips has. How do you feel about that? Do you think that there is room in the marketplace for both?
At first, I felt bad about it, to be honest with you, but Now that it's happening, I really feel that it's a good thing, that it's like the different organizations or whatever, that Audio Tips has one agenda, and that's to basically build a wholesome, healthy community that it's not based on just blindness, but a volunteer community, and blindness is basically a key factor in my life, and so a lot of the volunteerism hopefully is based around the blindness community and what we can do to make it to be able to boost our employment and things of that nature. And you know, I think it all depends on whatever. People need a place to go have fun. And, you know, I don't want to judge anyone or anything like that. It's just that in order to do what I need to do, I needed to keep the community the way that it is now.
When one visits Audio Tips, there's a series of rooms that you can join and participate in based on subject matter. I'm interested in how you determine that it's time to open a room for a given topic, and perhaps when you consider closing one.
Basically, it's if a person wants to do something, it's really interesting, because if anybody decides that they're going to do something at a certain time, or say there's something going on, it seems like people show up. And so if someone is interested in having a room, then all they have to do is ask, and we'll give them an opportunity to develop that room and see what happens with it. As far as closing the rooms, if they become inactive for a long period of time and just get in the way, then we'll probably end up taking them off, although most people use the interfaces that only show who's in the rooms and stuff like that, so they don't have to go through the whole page of all the empty rooms.
So how much of your time does Audio Tips take up?
I can't tell you, I don't have a life. Basically, I work minimum 16 hours a day for 6 days to 7 days a week on it.
That's one heck of a commitment.
Well, it's it's my survival. I mean, I really feel it's the only way that I can get out there and say, hey, you know, to the whole world, get out there and say, I'm just a person, just like everybody else. And I've learned so much this year by talking to blind folks that, you know, being somebody that could see at one time and went blind, I can visualize a lot of things in my head. And I was in a blind community working at the Center for the Blind about 20 years ago, but I could still see. And I think I had still some sighted preconceived ideas of blindness and where people were coming from. And getting to know now the people that I've met on the tips and the struggles they had growing up, you know, it seems to me like a person that's born blind a lot of times has a real tough time, because parents, even though they love their children and they feel that the children, you know, are going to make it at the best, a lot of times parents still don't expect the same thing from a blind child as they do a sighted child. The same with school, the same with society. And I've had a lot of prejudice myself in those areas, and I know my son is going through stuff like that also with his partial blindness, and so my commitment is to do everything I can do to change that in a positive way.
Let's turn to the Olympics now, which is really the reason that prompted me to give you a call this particular week. You made an announcement about a week ago that because of the inaccessibility of the Olympics.com website, that Audio Tips was going to be doing some things to try and make Olympics information accessible to people. Can you tell me a bit more about that, and also how well it's been received?
Well, Barry, who does a lot of the magic behind the Audio Tips site, had thought that this might be a good opportunity for us to put another community together, put the site out there, and at least give the opportunity as a public service to the blind community, and also have an opportunity to have volunteer people come in and help us out. I posted it to a lot of news groups, and throughout the some newspapers and stuff like that. I got called from the newspaper that put the article up about the site being inaccessible, and they called and they interviewed me last Sunday. I don't know if they put it out yet or not. I would think if they did, we might end up getting some volunteers, but actually, I've got about four or five volunteers that have came out of it, and it hasn't been a tremendous success. From another standpoint, it's been a real good success. On the page, we put some sound files, and they're very, very interesting sound files that are pretty positive, and a lot of the blind community that's in the audio tips community have really been changed by some of the sound files. One of them was Jim Stovall's story of how he started descriptive video, and it's a real great story for anyone to listen to, that he gave us permission. He actually talked to Barry on the phone, and I would hope that every blind person would listen to that. It's really something I think that could help change people's lives.
I wanted to give you a chance to address one of the criticisms that I've seen of the Olympics Initiative from Audio Tips on some of the email lists, which has been that by doing this, it effectively makes web designers think that they can be let off the hook on the basis that if the information is available in some other way, then the web designers themselves don't have to do it. Do you think that that's an unfair criticism?
I do. We're very much, both Barry and I are very much in agreement that we want to see accessibility. Barry's cited, and he wants all the input that he can get from anyone, because he needs our eyes to make things accessible. And we had talked in detail about how the reaction of this would be and what the implications would be, and by no means do we want to take anybody off the hook for making something inaccessible. Actually, in my interview, they said how long did it take us to put our site together, which isn't definitely isn't an accessible website for the Olympics outside of from Human Voices. But I did tell her in that interview that the amount of time that they said that it would take and the amount of money is just absolutely absurd.
So your stance would be then that because Audio Tips is drawing the mass media's attention to how easy it is to make a website accessible, that this initiative is actually helping rather than hindering the accessibility cause?
That's my hope.
All right, let's spend some time talking about the future of Audio Tips, because you've got these communities that you're starting to develop. It sounds like there are some pretty exciting plans ahead for you.
Well, we're one of the things that I'm excited about is employing blind people with decent pay, not the pay that a lot of folks get here in the States or probably other countries, but and using the internet as a vehicle. I believe it really levels out the playing ground. I've been 5 or 6 years trying to figure out how to make money on the internet. I made a little bit with the One Step Audio Publisher, and recently have got some income coming in through creating different communities and helping other people to make money or find employment on the internet. One of the models that I think I'm very, very proud of is the community we built for KathyAnn.com, and it's working, and She's beginning to produce income for herself, and I'd like to see other blind people be able to do that in all different areas. We've got a talking mall, an online mall that we're going to be starting, and hopefully there can be some folks that can market things for other people with a unique concept. And as we build our community, I know that a lot of folks within a community like buying from people who live or reside at that community, so we're working at it.
Now, your online shopping mall, are you saying that that's involving the Lipstream technology as well, or is that an accessible shopping website?
It'll be another community with stores in it. I can turn on the stores within whatever communities I want, so they'll show up on the Who Is screen, or I can turn them off. I can open them up at various times, and so it'll be a place where people will be there, and people throughout the community or whoever comes to the page can see, and there'll also be a web pages to go along with whatever people are selling. I know one gentleman right now is getting together a lot of audio CDs from people in the blind community and offering to sell them for him in the store. So he'll be in the store and have several items to be able to sell along with some other things that he's doing. One thing about this is there's so many people selling things over the internet, but really not doing that well at them for whatever reasons. And I think a lot of it's interactivity. The more interactivity that you have going on a website where you can communicate back and forth throughout a community using email list and talking and chatting and doing whatever else, that's when you can truly generate revenue. And in fact, I were working on a newsletter that the vendors that come into the mall will be able to put on specials, and people will be able to subscribe to it, and a lot of it will be blind related items, and a lot of it will just be just stuff.
Presumably you'll be addressing issues of security when people are making purchases through the mall?
Well, we've got two ways right now. There's two or three different ways that people can buy things over the internet. One is PayPro, which is online credit card service that you don't have to have all the merchant stuff. It all automatically, they take care of all the secure stuff. Another one is eMoney Mail and PayPal, but they're not international, although I think PayPal is supposed to go international this month. And Audio Tips has is in the process of getting an SSL certificate also. There's still some things that we need to work out in those areas, but right now we'll probably use what's out there until we can make sure that we can have the Audio Tips credit card stuff in order to where it's be above reproach, to where everything is done without human beings being involved.
When are you hoping to have that online mall up and running?
I hope to have it within, well, I was hoping to have it by now, but I would say at the outside 2 weeks, maybe 1 week.
And is all of that going to be available from the audiotips.com domain, or are you registering other domains for these specific functions?
Right now, the mall, the Christian community, the original Audio Tips community, and an Audio Tips volunteer community will probably be through the front door of the Audio Tips domain, then we'll have a link to another domain that will be a community builder domain where people can purchase communities or have us work on communities for them or whatever. And the templates, you know, the communities that are on Audio Tips will actually be model communities that people can look at and say, okay, this is, here's an idea.
You've mentioned that you have volunteers assisting with audiotips.com. What do they do?
We have volunteer readers. That's a real popular one that people like to do. The idea behind that for me was 3 years ago I put out a post and I ended up with 2,000 volunteers and I just couldn't handle them. They were from all over the country. I still have that information and will be getting back with them. And they were volunteer readers. It seems to be something that folks really like the idea of, to be able to sit in their home and be able to read something and put it up there where people can hear what they read and feel like they're contributing to something. In volunteerism communities, what I found is 50% of it is doing the volunteer work, but 50% of it is networking, meeting people. For example, with the Lions Club, I belong to a couple Lions Clubs at various times, and most of it was for business people to get together in the community and, you know, talk business things and meet each other and gain contacts from a business standpoint. But also there was that degree of what's our other purpose for being here, which is volunteering. And so it's a good way to get people involved in the community. It's a real popular way to do it. Other things that we hope people will end up volunteering for are tutoring kids that are having problems keeping up with their peers in school, in math or English or all the mainstream type things. Volunteer teachers, volunteer people that live in communities that might be able to help offer a ride to somebody to go get their groceries or help them read their mail. Half of our volunteer readers, by the way, are blind, which is kind of I'm kind of proud of. So we're looking for people everyone to volunteer, not just sighted people, but blind people, people with other disabilities, and we can all help each other out and gain a mutual understanding and respect for each other.
And I suppose it's also good if you can have people sitting in the rooms, because what inevitably happens is that someone visits a room, finds that it's vacant, and disappears just as someone else is about to enter the room. So is that a function they fulfill as well?
That's true. I need to work a little bit more on that. At one time we were having people volunteer to have times to set in various rooms and stuff like that. I've kind of been so involved in other community type things and putting them together that I haven't had the time to spend in the rooms that I really would like to have. We've got Cindy Hollis, who's been helping out with the events that we've been having in the rooms and the moderators and things like that. She's done a terrific job at getting the events going, and she's been real busy so with a lot of things because she's got working and raising three kids and being involved in the ACB and helping with Audio Tips, plus going to school. She's pretty busy, but we're gonna be working on that have some welcoming people to hang around in one or two of the rooms to be able to welcome people in. So if anybody wants to volunteer out there, we'd sure be grateful.
I know there are means by which AudioTips users and those who perhaps are interested in becoming an AudioTips user can keep in touch with what's happening through email lists. Is that an announcements-only list, or is it an interactive discussion kind of list?
Actually, we have two lists. We have an announcement-only list, and then we have the regular email list. Actually, we have one for the Christian community separate also, so that we're not inundating people with things that they don't want to hear about. And it is an interactive list, although I moderate it. I've recently, I belong to quite a few lists, and I've had some just basic chit-chat that really, it's hard to do. You know, it's hard to maintain a list and keep its integrity. And so I have to kind of decide what should go through and what shouldn't go through, because I don't want to, one thing we want to avoid is controversy and disharmony among the community, and I'm not sure what to do there sometimes.
That's George Byes, and if you'd like to visit audiotips.com, it's www.audio-tips, don't forget the dash in there, audio-tips.com.